Yeah, we're in the middle of a conversation, sort of a roundabout conversation. There was a machlokas, I think it was Rav Chista and Rabba at the top of the page. And the question was, if you shechted the Karban Pesach for the sake of those who are circumcised, but you did it on condition that it brings atonement for those who are uncircumcised, whatever that means, right? It's not really clear what that means because you can't get atonement for someone who's uncircumcised, you stay uncircumcised. So atonement would be giving him a bris milah. So either way, the question is, if you thought that, if that was a machshava, that was an intention that you had when you shechted it afterward, after you shechted it, but when you did the sprinkling of the blood, so does that work? So Rav Chista said it was possible because there is a machshava. That machshava is a legitimate thought. That's a legitimate thing to think in the process of doing the shechita. And Rabba said it was kasher because ein machsheves harei lebizrika. There's no such thing as thinking about. There's no legitimate or there's no thought that counts during zrika, which relates back to the non-circumcised, right? Just it doesn't even equate, and therefore it doesn't affect the legitimacy of the karban. So we're at the bottom here, at the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Beis. And both Rabba and Rav Chista, or I guess really Rabba, had gone through a sort of a roundabout example of saying that Ein Machsheves Areil and Bezrika, to prove basically that there is no effectual consequence when you think about doing the Karban, which is not for uncircumcised people. When you think about them during Bezrika, it doesn't matter. Okay, so now Maskev Rav Ashi. Masgir Rav Ashi says, "Mimai tahayg v'chol aral kula mashma." Right, we had said this yesterday, based on a bunch of different drushas, and they were seemingly, you know, almost arbitrary in their application. So Rav Ashi is now saying, "How do we know that when the pasuk says v'chol aral, that's coming to tell us that the entire group has to be uncircumcised?" Dil mahay v'chol aral mashma kol dehu arla. Maybe v'chol aral means any kind of arelus, any kind of uncircumcised person in the group. Not the whole group, but any kind of person in the group. And then the Gemara comes to say, or the Torah says, Kasav Rachmana Zos. Specifically this, Da'ad di'ika kula arelo apasla, loshna mashiach, loshna bezirka. The only time there is an Isser is when there is Zos. Zos meaning more emphatically, more exclusively this. That it's only going to be possible, the carbon's only going to be no good, if the entire group is, the entire intention is for only the arelim, only for the uncircumcised. And that doesn't matter if it's during Shechita or Zrika. Elam Rav Ashi, really Rav Ashi says, it's not about how you darshan this pasuk and thereby whether or not you hold machsheves arelim bezrika, but rather, Rabbi Rav Chista b'hai krakamefliki. They're really arguing about the following pasuk. This pasuk is in the beginning of Vayikra, the fourth pasuk of Sefer Vayikra. B'hai krakamefliki v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav, alav v'lo al chaveiro. That the kapara that you're giving is supposed to be done for that person and not his friend. Meaning that when you bring a carbon, it has to be specific to the person who's meant to be getting atonement. And if that person's not thought of, so then what would be a problematic thought? One which is al chavero. What does that mean, chavero? Rabba savar chavero dumya didei. Rabba thinks that in order to disqualify a carbon, you have to be thinking about a similar person. The wrong person, but a similar person. Dumya didei. Mahu devar kapara, av chavero devar kapara. Meaning this person has to also be at least relevant to the carbon to even be within the qualifications that would disqualify it, right? You know, it's almost like saying, is this the right fruit and you give me like a mattress? Of course, you know, that's not even relevant. But if you would say, I want an orange and you give me an apple, so then that at least is in the right category. You're in the right ballpark. But if it's not even in the right ballpark, so it's not going to be, according to Rabba, it's not going to be really considered a disqualification, a psul, because the person's not even relevant to be in the conversation. Af chavero, Av chalira debar kapara. La fuke hai arel, to the exclusion of this arel, to the exclusion of this uncircumcised person, delav bar kaparahu. Rabba says that an arel, an uncircumcised person, excuse me, the uncircumcised person is someone who is completely out of the ballpark, not even relevant to the discussion. Rav Chista savar, and Rav Chista says, no, hai arel nami kevan debar chiyuvahu, Varka parahu, because the arel, while he is excluded from the from the accessibility of a Karban Pesach because he's not circumcised, he's still obligated in the Karban Pesach, and therefore he is in the ballpark. Varka parahu hoel di by misake nafshe, because if he wanted to, he could have a bris mila that morning and he can be relevant for the Karban Pesach. So the fact that theoretically he could be relevant means that he's in the ballpark enough that he'd be chayev. Very interesting.
What about somebody who's patur from Amila? I mean,
that's an interesting sort of nafkamina. Maybe even Rav Chista would say that he's not obligated. You're talking about someone who's like an androgynous or something.
Well, I was thinking of a hemophiliac.
Okay.
Who they've had, you know, somebody in the family died from whatever the halacha is. Somebody died, a earlier brother died from.
Yeah.
Or something.
So actually, that's interesting because the Achronim point out that Rashi had mentioned that a couple dapim. Rashi mentioned that apparently on yesterday's daf, he had mentioned that maybe the arrow that we're talking about is when his brothers had died beforehand. The Gemara in Nivamos, I think, says that if you have two brothers that died before you during their bris mila, you don't have to have a bris mila yourself. Right. So a similar situation. So the Achronim asked this question here. It's Yevamos daf ayin. So even though it's aser im yavar v'yamol yiyeroy lahakriv. So even though that's the case, according to the Maharsham, discussing Tosfos, that it's machlokas achronim. The Maharsham says that what Rav Chista means is even within the that situation, if you were to give the bris mila, it would be a good bris mila. It might, you know, risk his life, but the fact that theoretically it would work for him as a mitzvah, right? You get the mitzvah bris mila, so that's enough. And the Kilas Yaakov says no, it's not enough. A person who's pater means he's not chayev at all, and therefore even Rav Chista would say that in that case, like Rabba, he'd be completely irrelevant. So interesting, good question. But that gets to the question of Hoel, right? How theoretical is theoretical, right? How far off in the possibility, the realm of possibility, can we go to establish this relevancy? So Rabba says he's not relevant enough, and therefore it's not a disqualification to think about them. Whereas Rav Chista says it is a disqualification because they are relevant. Technically, they could give themselves a bris mila. In a theoretical sense, right, we established, we've talked about the concept of hoel before. So now the Gemara says, umi isleil Rav Chista hoel. Does Rav Chista really think that the concept of hoel is a real thing, that you could theoretically retroact theoretically, you know, imagine something that could happen in the future, and therefore that's going to dictate what we can do now? V'ha'itmar, doesn't it say in a brisa? Or I don't know where the recording is from. Ha'ofa miyom tov l'chol, if someone cooks from Yantif for the weekday, Rav Chista amar loka, Rabba amar eno loka. Why? We've seen this before. Rabba amar eno loka, amarino ho'el v'imekleilo orachim. If the guests are going to come, so then you could still make the food, and therefore it would be relevant for today, even though technically or practically it won't happen. Because it's theoretically possible that it would be okay to cook on Yantif, you'd be within the heter of ochel nefesh. Chazilei, hashtanami chazilei. Here too, even if the guests won't come, it's as if the food is relevant to be made on Yantif itself. V'lo laki, and therefore you're not going to get makas for it because he did something like it was as if you cooked for Yantif itself. However, Rav Chista amar loke, because lo amrinan ho'il. Rav Chista does not apply the rule of ho'il, and therefore, how could we say that Rav Chista holds of ho'il in the case of an arel to therefore create a disqualification for someone who thinks about the arel? So Bish, Lama Rabba Hadi Rabba Lokasha, you have the same question on Rabba. Rabba, in our case, does not say ho'il, whereas in the case of Yantif Tachol, cooking in the chol, he does say ho. So bishlam adraba adraba lokasha hacham chusar masa hasam lam chusar masa. Over here, the guy has to actually do something in order for the ho to take place. Right? When you put it in the hands of an activity, or you put it, if the theoretical possibility is where someone has to actively, by their own free will, do something, so then that is not going to allow us, that's going to sort of exclude the possibility of ho'el. Ho'el is only something that we can sort of imagine might happen, but something that's out of our control, like guests coming. El adrev chista adrev chista kasha. So, and by the bris milah case, that's something which, you know, the Kohen can't control either. That's something that the Kohen or the person who is an RL could control if they went and they, that's why. By the guests, he's willing to say it because they could come against his will. But by the Pesach case, by the Ara, by the uncircumcised person, they have to actually go and do something. So we're not going to establish Ho'el. But for Rav Chista, Amri, so El Rav Chista, Ad Rav Chista Kasha, how could it be that Rav Chista says you can establish Ho'el in the more demanding case where it would require someone to go and do a Bris Milah? Whereas by the Yontif case, where it's just possibility that somebody might come and guests might walk in, so why would he over there say there's no Ho'el in a more lenient case of Ho'el? So Amri de Chileis le Rav Chista Ho'el Lekula. When does Rav Chista say that you apply the concept of Ho'el? That's only for a Kula. And when does he not apply it for a Kula? Right? Ho'el is a very delicate concept. And if you're going to use it to perhaps violate principles, he's not going to allow you, right? So when it comes to Yontif, he's not going to invoke the concept of Ho'el to allow you to do something. But by the Karbanos, by Karban Pesach, he's establishing a Ho'el. The fact that this person could technically be Mohel means that he's within the relevant concepts, within the relevant intentions of the Karban Pesach, and therefore he can create a Chumra. And for a Chumra, L'Chumra Islay, he would apply the concept of Ho'el. Right? So he's only says Ho'el, L'Chumra. Okay. Amar Le'ra Marzitra Bredrav Marila Ravina Katani Ho of Arla Poselas Vituma Poselas Matuma Lo Asaba Mixas Tumat Bakal Tuma Af Arla Lo Asa Mixas Arla Gahol Arla. Right, we had said one of the logics that we had said yesterday in order to prove whether or not or in order to decide whether or not partial uncircumcised people, meaning that you have a big group and some of them are uncircumcised, to determine whether or not that partial uncircumcised population would disqualify the whole carbon or only those for those people, we said maybe we can connect it or parallel it to tuma, right? So ma tuma lo asaba mixas tuma kachol tuma. If only part of the people are tame, it's not going to affect the rest of the people who are tahor. So too we tried to say arla is the same way. If some are uncircumcised, it's not going to affect the people that are uncircumcised. So Gemara says hi tuma echidami. What kind of tuma are we talking about that would create a partial disqualification, but still, you know, salvage the rest of the people that are tahor? Ilema b'tumas gavri. If we're talking about most, if we're talking about the people themselves, that they're tummy, some of them are tummy, some of them are not. So umai, what's my lo asaba mitzas tuma kachol tuma? What does that mean? Di iika arba v'chamisha gavri tumein. If there are four or five people that are tummy, v'arba v'chamisha gavri tahorin lo paslu tumein l'tahorin. So then it's not going to affect them. And therefore, it's not gonna disqualify the whole carbon. It'll work for the other people. But gabay arla nami halo pasli ditnan. But for people who are uncircumcised, also it shouldn't affect them. Ditnan, because our Mishnah says la mulim la arelim kasher. Right, we're trying to figure out why this parallel is such a novel proposition, right? The fact that they're proposing it means that it must be something that we don't already know. But the Mishnah already told us. The Mishnah said if it's for both circumcised and uncircumcised people, so then it's kasher. So Maishna Tuma de Pshitalei, Maishna Arla de Mesafkalei. Why would it be such a novel idea by Arla, by Arelim, sorry, Whereas by tumah, it's like a given. Why are they both? Why are they different? There are mishnas that tell both of those halachas already. Ella, rather, betumas basar. Really, it must be referring to the tumah of the meat itself. If one of the limbs had become tameh, meaning they're detached, if the whole thing is detached, so the whole body becomes tameh. But if they're detached, so maybe you would think that one part of the Pesach, one part of the carbon, you know, affects the rest of the parts of the carbon. So haidi tameh sarfin and lay, this one that you burn, this one that's tameh, you burn it, v'idach achlin and lay, and maybe the rest of it you can eat. And therefore, that's the chiddush that we're talking about here, that if it's partially tameh, meaning part of the limbs are tameh, so then you can still eat the rest of it. And we're trying to draw a parallel from that to the people in the group of the circumcised and uncircumcised. So therefore, what have you now established the whole svara, the whole calculation is? Betumas basar. You've said that we're really talking about the tumah, the impurity of the actual meat. So emes eif, if that was case, dan in davar she'enu noeg b'chol zvachim, mi davar she'enu noeg b'chol zvachim, v'al yochir zman she'noeg b'chol zvachim. The end of that brisa had said that maybe we should learn out the psul which does not apply to all other karbanos, meaning uncircumcised people bring a karban, only applies to karban Pesach, and we should learn that from something which is also not noeg b'chol zvachim, which is tumah, where it's not always a problem for the person to be tameh. And you should not learn out instead. You should not learn arel from a mistiming issue, right? Because that applies to all other karbanos. So Gemara says, "Umay tumah." Name it tumas basar. If you're going to tell me that it's referring to tumas basar, am I eno noeg b'chol zvachim? The concept of meat being tameh applies to every carbon too. So el pshita b'tumas gavri must be talking about the people who are bringing the carbon, and that's why it's relevant to the concept of not applying to other carbonos, because there are plenty of other carbonos where the person bringing it are actually tameh. El pshita b'tumas gavri umai eno noeg b'chol zvachim ti'il b'chol zvachim arav v'tameh mishalchin karbonosayin. When it comes to other karbanos, someone who's uncircumcised or someone who's tameh can send their karbanos ahead through a shliach. When it comes to the Pesach, someone who is an aral, someone who's tameh, cannot send ahead their karbanos with a shliach. And therefore, reisha b'tumas basar, seifa b'tumas gavri, you're going to tell me that the beginning of the part, which you just told me, is talking about the tumah of a meat. And the second part is talking about tumah of gavre. It sounds like they're talking about the same thing. If you go back to the brisa that we said yesterday, it sounds like it's one flowing conversation talking about the same kind of tumah. So amar lei in, yes, it is talking about two separate kinds of tumah. Shem tumah kaparach. We're talking about generally the concept of tumah, whether that applies to people, whether it applies to meat. That's what we're talking about, and therefore it's a legitimate use of the term, and it's something that the brisa was talking about there. Okay. Or you could say, Sefenami b'tumas basar. Maybe the end of it is also talking about tumas basar. And why? How would that be possible? My eino noeg b'chol zvachim. How is it possible that it's not applicable to other kabbados? Il b'chol zvachim. Bein shnit v'chelev basar kayam. Bein shnit v'basar v'chelev kayam. Whether you're eating the meat, whether the fat became tameh, or the meat became tameh, or vice versa, still zorek es adam. You're still allowed to sprinkle the blood. If you eat Pesach, when it comes to Pesach, nitmachel basar kayam zorik asadam. If the fat of the animal had become tameh, but the meat was still salvageable, you can still eat the meat. So then you do sprinkle the blood. But nitma basar chelav chayam. But if the meat was tameh and the fat is what is what's left over is what's tahor. So einu zorik hadam, you're not allowed to sprinkle the blood, and therefore the concept of tumah when it applies to the meat is exceptional by the Karban Pesach, and it's not noeg b'chol zvachim, because by other karbanos, if all of the meat and all of the fat was tameh, you'd still be allowed to bring. Well, actually, I don't know about that. But if only the meat became the edible meat became tameh and the fat was still tahor, you'd still be allowed to do. You'd still be allowed to sprinkle the blood. And that's why it applies to all other kabanos. It's not applicable to all other kabanos. And that's what it means, even in the Seifa. You don't have to bend over backwards to say that the Reisha and the Seifa are talking about different tumas, because now we can say that even the Seifa is talking about the tumah of the meat, and it doesn't have the same rules as other karbanos. So b'mayu kimta. So now what have we established? B'tumas basar. Now we're going to say that this whole brisa is talking about the tumah of a meat. But wait a second, Amos Eifa, when it talks about connecting arla to connecting the situation of arelim to the situation of zman, to the situation of timing it, mistiming it, or having the intention to eat it for a later date, which you're not allowed to eat it at. We had said dun and davar shlo hutr miklalo, mi davar shlo hutr miklalo. You should learn out the concept of non-exceptional qualities, and not learn out from tumah, which does have an exceptional quality. Meaning what? When it comes to tumah, and when it comes to uncircumcised people, when it comes to arelim, and it comes to zman, so there's no exception to that rule. If the carbon pesach can never be brought for an arel. Ever. Doesn't matter. There's no exception to that rule. And similarly, you should learn out from Zman, who also never has an exception. You have a day to eat it, you have a night to eat it, you have two nights to eat it, and there's no exception to that rule. And therefore, you should connect it more to Zman. Whereas Tumah does have an exception to the rule of Yatochech Tumah Shari Hutra Miklala. There is a time when Tumah could be exceptional, meaning you could still bring Karban Pesach when everybody else is tummy. So b'may, what kind of tumah are we talking about that would be exceptional? Ilema b'tumas basar, if we're talking about the basar being impure, so heichahutra, when is there exceptional? When is there an exception to allow bringing to allow bringing meat which is tummy? So ella, and therefore it can't be talking about the impurity of the meat. Although I'm not sure why he can't say what we just said, which is the situation of the fat and the edible meat. Presumably that would be an exceptional case. Maybe that's just the din, and it's not something that we're not violating a typical principle. Maybe that's different. But either way, elapshita. Rather, it must be betumas gavri. We're talking about people. V'heicha shutra hutra mekal b'tzibur. When the whole collection of people, the whole population is tameh, therefore you're still allowed to do the Karban Pesach. That is hutra mekal. That's an exception to the rule. The rule is that tameh can't, and now we're saying tameh can. Resha betumas basar, seifa betumas gavri. And therefore, you're going to tell me that the first two situations, the first two steps of the brisa are talking about the impurity of the meat, and now the end is all of a sudden switching to talk about the tumah of people. So yes, in shame tumah kaparach, it's really, again, we're resorting back to the same logic that it's just talking about tumah generally, whether it's talking about a person, whether it's referring to the meat itself, it's all talking about tumah generally. So the ibay same, or you could say kula betumas bas. So the entire brisa is talking about tumas bas. Heicha hutra betumah pesach. When is the bus, or even the meat that becomes tameh, allowed to be brought as a Karban Pesach? It's not ha-pesach ba-betumah, pesach ba-betumah, necha ba-betumah. That the Pesach which is brought in tumah, meaning that everybody's tameh, so necha ba-betumah can also be eaten in tumah. Shelo ba-mitchilas el-achila, because the whole purpose of eating the Karban is for the actual... So the whole parsha bring the carbons for the actual eating of the carbon. That's this week's parsha. Ish l'fi achlo, and therefore says the Gemara. While it's true, the whole purpose that we're saying over there is tumas gavri, that the people are tameh, and therefore we'll still allow them to eat it. The truth is that once they eat it, they're going to make the food tameh, and therefore that's also an exception, probably an exception in the same way. That the meat is also tummy. Therefore, the whole brisa is talking about the tumah of the meat. Okay. Meisav Rev Huna Breid Rev Yeshua Pesach Shabbos Shnaso Shchatu Bezmano Lishmo V'chein Hashochet Acherim L'Shem Pesach Bezmano Rabbi Eliezer Post Rabbi Shua Machshir. New situation. You've now designated a Pesach, but it's a year old, right? You're supposed to shech the Pesach in its first year. The pasuk says Zachar Ben Shana. This week's parsha, Zachar ben Shana, has to be 1 year. It's in its first year, so now the year is over. You missed your opportunity, and it's the next Pesach now. And now you shechted it on Erev Pesach, and you shechted it for the Karban Pesach. Or similarly, if you shechted it, you shechted other karbanos that you were designated for a different carbon, but you shechted it for the Karban Pesach, bismano, so meaning that the item, the animal itself, is the wrong item. It's a bad item, but you did it in the right way. You did it also on Erev Pesach, l'shem Karban Pesach. So Rabbi Eliezer says it's possible. Rabbi Shua says it's kosher. Tama bismano, hashlo bismano kosher. The only reason that it's no good, according to Rabbi Eliezer, presumably is because you did it on Erev Pesach. And on Erev Pesach, you have to bring the right carbon. If, however, you would do so shelo bismano, when it's not Erev Pesach, so then it would be kosher. V'amai, but how could that be? Nema hoel ubismano pasul, shelo bismano name pasul, poso. Maybe we should say, not to imply that at non-Pesach times you could bring the carbon, but to imply that because it's pasul on Erev Pesach, it should also be pasul on other times. If you ever have the intention to do so for the Karban Pesach, that should always be pasul. So Amar Papa Shani Hasam to Amar Krav Amartim Zev Pesach Hu B'Hav Yaso Lo Hu L'Shem Acherim, that the Karban Pesach should be specifically also this expression. It should be distinctively given for the sake of the Karban Pesach, but not for other karbanos. V'Lo Acherim L'Shmo, and similarly not other karbanos for the Karban Pesach. Bismano, when does that happen? Shu pasul l'shem acherim psulim l'shmo. Shelo bismano shu kasher l'shem acherim, when a person is kasher at other times to bring other karbanos with the animal which is brought as a Pesach. So acherim kasherim l'shmo, other karbanos are also allowed l'shmo. Okay, an interesting drasha to basically say that as long as it's not Erev Pesach, you can bring whatever karban that was designated for Pesach, you can bring it later also. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Simlai asked l'kamei to Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lei. Rabbi Simlai came to Rabbi Yochanan and said, Nisni li mar sefer yuchsin. This is an interesting braisa. But he says, basically, teach me about sefer yuchsin, which is, the teachings of Divrei Hayamim. This is according to Rashi, at least. Right, Sefer Yuchsin, basically, sort of the chronology of the world, or the chronology of the Jewish people, Jewish history. So teach me about all the insights into that. So Amar Lei, Mehechanan, where are you coming from? Amar Lei, Milud, I was born in Lud, basically. Mehechan Mosvachan, where are you living now? Benarida. I live in Naradai. So Amar Lei, he says to him, Eini don in Lud and Lud in Naradai. I don't teach that stuff to people from Lud or from Narada. But Kol Shekhen At. Milud umosvach b'narida. You come from both Lud and Narda. I'm definitely not going to teach you about Sefer Yochsin. I'm definitely not going to teach you about Diriyam. This is one of those situations, a strange story that gets us to a point later. Why are we talking about this? We don't really need this introductory paragraph, but it gives you a little bit more of the credence to the fact that this story really happened. So Kafia, he forced him, he pressured him, he said, you have to teach it to me. V'artzian, he appeased him, he made him willing to teach it. So Amar Lei, Nisni b'tchlas yarcha. And then he says, not only do I want you to teach me Divrei Hayamim, I want you to teach it to me in 3 months. So Shako Kala Pasuk Vei. Rabbi Yochanan took some kind of dirt and he threw it at him. So Amar Lei, Uma Bruria Devisu de Rabbi Meir, the wife of Rabbi Meir, Brate de Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, the daughter of the famous Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon that gave up his life for the Sefer Torah, de Rabbi Meir. De Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, de Tanya, Tlas Mea Shmaisa Biyoma. Mitlas Mea Ravavasa. I learned 300 things a day from 300 different Rabbanim. This is Bruria talking. And she still didn't fully finish understanding Sefer Yochsin. Viat Amart Mitlas Yarche. You from Lud, from Naridai, who's not even supposed to be learning this thing. You've pressured me to learn it. Now you want to learn it in 3 months. Even the great Bruria couldn't learn it in 3 years. From learning 300 things a day. So he basically throws him out. Right? We're not learning. You know, this is ridiculous. This is like the stand on 1 foot case. So Kishakav Azil, however, when Reb Simlai was leaving, so Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says to him, he says to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi, ma ben lishmo bishalo lishmo, what's the difference between someone who shechts for both the purposes of Pesach and for the purposes of a regular Shlamim, la'ochlav v'shelo la'ochlav. What's the difference between that disqualification and this one where it's not disqualified, where some people are eating it, some people aren't eating it? How exactly was that on his mind after talking about Divrei Hayamim? I have no idea. This is, you're talking about a different crop of people that think about things in ways we don't think about. We should. But he was being thrown out for not being able to learn Divrei Hayamim, and he figured while he was there, he might as well ask a shaila about Karban Pesach. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hol v'tzor b'rabbanan at, tav e'malach. right? Because you're a smart guy, because you're a Talmud Chacham, clearly you're a learner. So then I'll tell you. Number one, to have the wrong intention for the wrong carbon in the middle of a Karban Pesach, when you bring Karban Pesach, that's a psul begufo. It's intrinsic to the carbon. I talked about that a couple of days ago in my WhatsApp halacha, that it's an intrinsic issue with the carbon itself. However, la'ochlev shlo'ochlev, if you're doing so for some people that are eating it and some people that aren't eating it, ain't psul begufo. It's only a problem. It's only a problem with who's going to end up eating it and whether that disqualifies it. So in the end, we say that we're lenient for that. That's number one. Lishmo v'shelo lishmo efshel levar yisuro. When it comes to a misintended karban, meaning you had partially intended it for as a shlamim, so then it's impossible to figure out whether or not part of the karban was good and part of the karban was bad. However, when it comes to rationing out the parts that can be eaten, the parts that can't be eaten, so then part of the people can eat it, and the other parts are parts that can't be eaten because that's part that those people aren't even relevant for the karban. Lishmo v'shelo lishmo yeshno b'arba avodos. Right, the concept of having lishma applies to all four activities of the karban: shechita, the kabbalah, the holacha, and the zrika. Whereas lo'ochlav shlo'ochlav in b'arba avodos, it only is a problem while you're doing the shechita if you have the intention to give it to the people for both people who are eating and people who aren't eating. V'shelo lishma yeshno b'tzibur kibiyachid. There is a concept of lishma by both karbanos that are for the public and for the individual. That doesn't apply except for the Karban Pesach. Rav Ashi Amar Psul Begufo V'ef Shalavari Yisuro Chadim Elsehi Dematam Amar Psul Begufo. Why isn't it an intrinsic Isser? Why is it intrinsic to the Karban itself? Mishum De'ef Shalavari Yisuro. So really those are two reasons. It's because you can't distinguish what part was given the kosher intention, what part was given the non-kosher intention, and therefore, those are really the same thing, and really there are three differences, not four. Okay, I guess we'll finish off that story. Amar Rabbi bar Rav Yuda, Amar Rav Miyom Shenigna Sefer Yuchsin Tashash Kochen Shechacham V'Cham Or Einayim. When they finally forgot, this means to store away, but when they forgot Sefer Yuchsin, they forgot how to interpret the Divrei Yam, the passage in Divrei Yamim, so then they got weaker in the Torah, and they couldn't see as well, whatever that means. They didn't have that clarification. So Amar Mar Zutra, Atzel La Atzal, the word Atzel, which is in Divrei Yamim, in Divrei Yamim Aleph Ches Lamed Ches, there's like a literal translation that I'm missing here. Let me try and get it first quickly. From the word Azel, which is a person's name, it became Azal. So what does that mean? That Te'inu Arba Ma'agamli. Oh, okay, fine. The pasuk that says Atzel and then it says Atzal, meaning that the guy's name changed, Atzel and Atzal, they were able to learn 400 things. Sorry, they were able to learn so many things that it would take up 400 camels worth, I think, of books, maybe, that only with 400 camels would you be able to hold all of the drashas from that one pasuk, from that one inconsistency. That's how much they used to know about Divrei Yamim. And now they lost all of it. Okay, whatever that means. That's a lot of camels. Okay, Shkoyach Rebosa, have a good Shabbos. We'll meet Meretz Hashem 7 o'clock tomorrow night.